You're listening to the King's Church Podcast. Visit us online at kingswisbeach.org.uk.
We're going to be turning to the scriptures, so let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you've entrusted over the centuries this sacred word. And though written centuries ago, we pray today it may be living and active amongst us. We pray for us all that our ears and hearts may be open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. My subject today is generosity. And I hope you've all experienced generosity, either as a giver or as a receiver. Let me take you back to 1983, which is 41 years ago now. Fiona and I, with our two small daughters, we were homeless. And we were living in a caravan in the vicarage garden of Walsoken Rectory. We had the offer of a cottage in Emnath, which is now Jane's home, but it wasn't at that time. And we were uncertain whether, if we moved out of Wisbeach and moved into Emnath, whether that was a lack of faith, the right thing to do. We were uncertain what the next step should be. So we had a very good friend who was a good counsellor to us, John Betts in Norwich. So we thought, well, actually, we'd like to talk this over with John. We had an old car, big engine. We weren't sure if we could afford the £10 petrol return trip to Norwich, because we had no money either. But we thought, we'll go over. So we went to John and said, you know, we're now homeless, we're living in a caravan, we've got this offer of a cottage, but we need to be living in a house in Wisbeach. Is it right to move into Emnath, into this little cottage? And as we were talking, he said, does this make any difference? And he gave us a cheque for £2,500, which was half an offering that the church in Norwich had taken up, because there was another family in Cambridge, exactly the same situation as us. And we saw that as the deposit on the house that we would have in Wisbeach. And in fact, it was. And then within the year, we have moved into Sefton Avenue, and then eventually the church began to gather in that home. Generosity is a mark of the people of God. Now, you've heard Verity quote, and I'm not going to read it for those on the video, but in the meeting you've heard Verity quote from 2 Corinthians 9, and in it, Paul, speaking with what we understand to be the word of God, says that God has made us rich so that in every way we can be generous on every occasion. And if the people of God exhibit that generosity, it says other people will praise God. Wow, these people are so open-hearted and open-handed. So most of us will be very familiar with the New Testament. That's what I've just quoted. But here, and when I speak on Sundays and over the next few weeks, I'm going to be speaking from the Old Testament. Been reading through it, and I found some real gems. Sometimes when you're reading through Leviticus, done that? Chronicles, the list, done that? You think, oh my goodness me. But then you find these pearls of wisdom in the Old Testament. And in fact, the principles of Christian faith and living are all in the Old Testament. So I want to take you to Chronicles, okay? If you haven't thumbed it recently, or you can find it on your phone, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And here, David is talking about his heart's desire to build a temple, a dwelling place for God. But God has said to him, no, you're not going to accomplish that. It's going to be given over to your son, Solomon. And it says, 1 Chronicles 29, King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx and turquoise stones. And out of the royal treasury, David bequeaths to this building project all these treasures. And then verse 3, besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God over and above everything I have provided. David is captured by this. And then his example leads the others. Verse 6, then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes, the commanders of hundreds and thousands, the officials in charge of the king's work, they gave willingly too. What had captured their heart? We're going to build a temple, a house for the Lord, and it's going to be furnished lavishly and no expense spared. And it is one of the principles that Jesus talks about, that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. What you value, what excites you, what captures your vision, you'll invest into that. And I love it that the David set the ball rolling, and then the leaders saw what David did, so they followed as well. Can I say, if you're a leader amongst God's people, you need to have a generous spirit. If you're a leader in the church, if you've got a role of responsibility, if you're leading a house group, if you're doing children's work, if you're leading in the musicians, whatever, you need to have a generous spirit. Because I'll tell you what, if you're in leadership, people will ask a lot of you. But they can't take from you what you've willingly given. Which is what Jesus did. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I willingly lay it down. And so here's David, who is generously given out of the royal treasury and his own possessions. The leaders do the same. Verse 9 says, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. They gave willingly and freely. But then David realizes what's happened. Look at verse 14, if you've got your Bible there. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give us as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. David realized it wasn't ours in the first place. It was what God had poured in the blessings into our life. So generosity is not a compulsion. It's a willing response to the blessing that God has given to us. And here in this church, we're blessed that we do live amongst a generous people. Usually at Christmas time, we put out an appeal for a special project. And the trustees had said, well, to sponsor this child, will people give £2,500? I have to admit, in my heart, I thought, my goodness me, that's a lot. And out of the church, we gave over £3,000, which will sponsor this child for 5 years. Over the years, we've given to Smile. Do you remember when we did the Smile for the cataract operation? And the amount that people gave was amazing. And every month as a church, we intend to give away a tenth of our income so we support other charities. And it's our collective identity that we are a generous people. I want to throw in a caveat here. That's our collective identity. It may not be our personal identity. But collectively as a church, we are a generous people. Because that's what David said. Everything comes from you. We've only given you what comes from your hand. Actually, it didn't belong to us. We were only stewards of these resources that God had given us. And when we give, it's part of our worship. He goes on, if you're still in Chronicles, it says verse 17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. For all these things I've given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Then at the end of that chapter, they worshipped, they praised God together. And giving is part of our worship. That's why in this church we have this strange system of using this offering card. Once a month, we take part in a public act of offering, because offering is part of our worship. The church, well, before the meeting started, the back door was open, and I was saying to CJ, look, there's a man coming to church. No, he wasn't. He was coming to use the loo here. And I said, oh, are you coming to church? He said, people don't go to church now. I said, yes, they do. I said, we'll have a nice full hall here. He said, oh, you must be a different kind of church then. Now, why did I say that? I've lost my thread totally. Worship. When we come together, we're a worshiping community, and once a month we do this offering. And church has this, historically, this bad image of passing around the collecting plate. You know, the offerings come around and people shuffle for change in their pocket. Oh, you know, I'm a bit embarrassed because I haven't got any money with us. Here, we expect people to think what they're giving, that it's planned and deliberate because it's part of our offering. Now, I've got to be blunt here. If all your offering is putting a piece of paper in the basket, you're deceiving yourself and you're deceiving God. This is symbolizing that, God, I am out of the resources you've given to me. I'm planning to give what is yours back to you for your work and for your glory. And so, the hymn said, take my silver and my gold, nothing will I withhold. And our finances and our resources, whatever they are, they belong to God, and we're returning them to him. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let me just find Deuteronomy chapter. Here we are. In Deuteronomy 15, in the nation of Israel, they had a system. Well, God said that the system will be that at the end of every 7 years, you must cancel the debts. So nobody is in lifelong debt to you. And even if somebody has sold themselves to you as their servant, their slave, you're to release them after 7 years. And so this was the process of releasing people from their obligation. And in Deuteronomy 15, it teaches us not to give with a grudging heart. Every 7 years, the debts are cancelled. And if someone in your community was in financial trouble, so verse 7, if there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. You didn't know that word was in the Bible, did you? Don't be tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. And there's a very cautious word there. You think, this man has come and has asked me for a loan. Well, in a couple of years, that loan will be cancelled, so I won't get my money back. And he says, don't think like that. Don't think those evil thoughts. Be open-handed. Verse 10 says, give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That teaching Jesus really enforces in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a series we're going to be looking at in these coming weeks as well. And we will come to the section where Jesus talks about how you give to the needy. And it goes on. Verse 13. If this servant, this slave, has been with you and you're releasing him on the seventh year. I love this. These are some of the pearls you find in the Old Testament. Verse 13. When you release him, do not send him away empty-handed. Supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your winepress. Give to him as the Lord as God has blessed you. So you're not just letting him go. You're heaping blessing on him as well and saying, you'll need this. Let me provide for you. And why? Why does God say that? Very important. He says, verse 15, remember that you were slaves. They were people who had nothing, had no right to anything. They were under oppressive power and domination. They were made to work hard for hardly any wages at all. And they had been forged together as a community under slavery. And Moses, under God's guidance, has led them out of Egypt and leading them to the promised land. Just remember how the Lord has rescued you from that and has blessed you. And as they traveled through the wilderness, God provided for every need for all those 40 years. He said, remember that you were slaves. So don't be so hard-hearted and grudging like your slave masters were. But be open-hearted and generous. That's a very clear parallel for us. Once, you're either, well, let me backtrack a bit. You're either in the kingdom of God, or you're in the kingdom of Satan. There's no middle ground. And you may not think, people may not think I'm under the kingdom of Satan, but if you're not under God's kingdom, you're under the prince of this world. And God has transferred us from that kingdom of dominion and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The offering card last week says, in this kingdom, if you seek first his righteousness, everything you need will be given to you. That's the kingdom we live in now. And out of that, we can be so generous. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, do not appear before the Lord empty-handed. When we come in worship before the Lord, we're bringing ourselves, but as I bring myself, I'm bringing everything that is me and I have. I'm making that as an offering to the Lord. And we come in gratitude and gratefulness for what the Lord has done for us. Five of us went to Lincoln yesterday to the Alive conference at the church in Lincoln. There was a seminar which three of us went to on mental health well-being. And the lady speaking to us there said that actually being grateful, saying thank you, actually changes something chemically in our body. We will feel better if we're not a grump and a complainer. If our attitude is that generally you're grateful for life, you will physically feel better. And when we come with gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord instead of, oh God, have I got to give that again? We will feel better on the inside. We will feel better. So don't come to the Lord empty-handed. But here is a very important principle. It says, no person should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord has blessed you. In proportion. So if you've been blessed abundantly, you can give abundantly. If you're going through a time of poverty, and we've been there, we've had no money, we've had no home, we've had no church, I've had no job. You've been depending on the miracle of God's provision. Well, you've got to be very careful. You can still give, but it's out of the proportion of what you have. Now, some people use the principle of a tithe, a tenth. We do that as a church in our giving. We give a tenth, try to give away a tenth. We don't have to. It's not a law now, but a lot of Christians use that, you know, I will set aside at least a tenth of my income for the Lord's work. Some people say you can live better on 9/10 than 10/10 if you've given it to the Lord, because he will supply your needs. And Jesus, in the New Testament, he noticed how people were giving in the offering. He noticed the widow, and he noticed the rich people. The rich people gave more financially. The widow gave very little. But who did the Lord honor more? Because her giving was proportional. Three things I want to say, just to conclude. Three cautionary things. This comes out of Deuteronomy 24 and verse 19. Here we are. When you're harvesting in your field, do not go back a second time. When you're shaking the grapes, do not go back a second time and get more. And what the scripture is teaching us there, when our provisions are being met by our income, or people have been generous to us, or we're saving up for something, think of other people. So the harvesters were not to go back and get every ear of grain or every grape, because he says, leave some for other people. I haven't got time to mention the whole story, but in the Armenian Ministries leaflet, which is on the table there, there's a story of a woman in Armenia living in a container on a rubbish dump, and describes the poverty, the abject poverty she's in. When we went to Armenia, I had never seen our poverty like that. And when we're living in the land of blessedness, do not try to hoard everything to yourself. Think of others. Think of the poor and the needy, and how can I bless them? In chapter 19, verse 14, he says very clearly, do not move the boundary stones. How many of you have had problems with boundaries with neighbours? Yes. And very clearly, God says, don't move the boundary stones. Don't try and take a little bit more for yourself. I'll just take that. No, I'll just move the boundary stone so that's more. Which is saying, no sharp practices. No sharp practices. Later on, he says, don't have dishonest weights. When we're in Brightley, see, there was a man, his job was to weigh the grain lorries as they came to the storage place. They went on a weighing machine, and his job was to weigh them and to test the grain. Because do you know what the farmers did before they sent the lorry to the grain store? They'd put a hose pipe and fill the lorry with water, so the grain would be saturated with water, so they get more for their money. And his job was to test the level of water content in the grain, because people are dishonest. And in our dealing with people, he said, God said, no sharp practices, no dishonesty. Why are you trying to fiddle your taxes? Why are you trying to get the best deal to the disadvantage of other people? The Lord provides. Be generous and open-handed. The last thing is, it's in Leviticus 27. The shepherd would give a tenth of his flock as a tithe to the Lord, used in the temple sacrifices and for feeding the Levites. And they would count the sheep as they went under the shepherd's crook, and every tenth one was dedicated to the Lord. And just because human nature is like human nature, God had to say to them, when the tenth one goes under the shepherd's crook, if that's a healthy one, don't substitute it for a weak and poor one. Give of your best to the Lord. Give of your best. Last week, Matt was talking about the river of the Holy Spirit flowing in us and through us. God's blessing to us is like a river. He gives us so much so that what? We can give to others. It can be in us and through us to bless other people. And that's true of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are named as helping others. So seeing an opportunity, I can help somebody. I can pour out something into their life. One of the gifts is called contributing to the needs of others. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I did hear once, I don't know if it's apocryphal or true, but the man who tried to be poor, a Christian man who tried to be poor, he just gave away so much money, the Lord just kept giving him more money, because you're blessing other people. You're just letting it flow through you. And it isn't just money. It's being generous with mercy. It's being generous with kindness. It's being generous with our time. When people, you set aside time to help people. Why am I saying this? Because it comes out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me finish with Romans 8. Here we are. What should we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Excuse me. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Where it is referred to this already. We have such a generous God. We have such a... We are blessed. We are blessed. God himself said, count your blessings. And God gave his best. He did not withhold his only son, but freely gave him for us all. And that's how it works. It's not a law. It's not a diktat. But the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We know how much God has loved us and valued us and saved us and changed us. And so out of that, we want our lives to bless other people. Is that true? We are a generous church. We are a blessed church. We're here to bless this community. Let our lives flow with the blessing of God. So that, as the scripture says, people will see that and give thanks to our Father in heaven. Amen. 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 Let me pray and then we'll have some refreshments. Lord, you've been so good. You're so good. We sang at the beginning. We're going to lift up a prayer of thanks, a shout of praise, because you've been so good. All we have and all we are has come from you. And Lord, we want to be good stewards of that and return to you all that we are and all that we have, and pray as we put it in your hands. We ourselves and we as a church will be a blessing to one another here and to our communities, to our families, to our homes. So that here in this place, your kingdom will come. People will see the goodness of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.